On this episode of Level Up with Lighthouse, we're teaching you how you can build a better office that helps you attract and retain talent and helps your team do their best work. Every week, Randy Harris and I are talking about the experience that our team members, our clients, our friends all have when they come to the Lighthouse office inside of Seneca One. On this episode, you're going to get an inside look into the journey that Randy helped guide Lighthouse on from 2019 to now, really a five-year journey of exploring space and making the journey to the tech hub here in downtown Buffalo, developing the office and some lessons learned along the way, including bootstrapping a lot of that office build during a global pandemic, and how he's built it into a space that supports our team, how they do their best work together, and how we can best support our clients. The in-office versus remote versus hybrid debate draws a lot of conversation, a lot of opinions. Randy and I try to bring some levity to the conversation and think about how you make the right choice for your business. And then from there, it really becomes how can you inject creativity and your brand into the experience of your office, both for your internal team and for everybody visiting. You're going to have some fun getting to know Randy and I a little bit more too and some of our stories around the Lighthouse office here. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Are you ready? Let's level up. Randy, how are we doing today? Good to have you on the show.
I'm good. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Always a good time when we get together, and I know we'll end up on some good conversational tangents, and looking forward to talking about the Lighthouse office today as I'm in here. You're from your home office today, but glad to be recording and having some conversation.
Yeah. Excited to talk more about it. Sure.
Yeah. Just to set the stage, I want to give people a really fun story because I know you and I have talked about it a bunch. I tell everybody when I'm showing them around the office. But the first time I came up to the Lighthouse office was for my interview with you. And it was an interesting day that I got in, said hello to everybody, signed the sign-in sheet, and then the power goes out in the whole Seneca One Tower while they're doing construction.
Yeah.
We had a great conversation and just talked on the whiteboard for an hour and a half and had a great conversation. And then 28 flights of stairs down and was just the kind of experience that I'm like, this is too good of a story not to... You know, like this just feels right now. Always just kind of curious what your perspective was from that side.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, it's actually, first of all, we got our steps in that day. So, you know, good on us to get some exercise, even though it was forced on us. But, you know, what I'd actually say on that, looking back on it, as funny as it was, is probably a great, test isn't the right word, but just like you had the ability in that moment to like, make a decision on does everything need to be perfect or if things don't go perfect, am I good with that? And so I think serendipity stepped in and, you know, it's a funny story. It certainly wasn't by any means, but the idea that like, you know, as a company and as a culture, we are under construction, we are trying new things. It's not always clean and neat and easy. And, that was an example of, you were in a space where your first experience was, hey, this isn't perfect. And now we got to take 28 flights of stairs down. And there are people out there that, you know, would run away from that. There are. And then there's some people that think that that's just funny and, you roll with, the punches and, still really liked what the experience was. And I think it's kind of fun sometimes. And so, you know, as you're alluding to, like that's part of your personality too. And I think that that's, you know, probably a great, that was probably a great place to start at Lighthouse is something like that happening. I thought it was kind of fun. I was curious to see, you know, my conversation with you going to be next when you reached back out to me or I reached back out to you. Was I going to get crickets and you say, no, thanks. 28 flights is enough. And the power going out or were you going to be excited in that? And lucky for me, lucky for the whole Lighthouse team that you were excited and thought it was a funny thing. So
yeah
it was a great, it is a great story.
Yeah. It was an awesome day, awesome story. And, really what sold it for me, and we'll get into a lot of this as we talk here today, was seeing what it could be. And seeing this office that I'm in right now, recording this episode, was a storage cabinet and lots of paper files and
Yeah. Things
like that. Walking through what became the game room. And I think that room was still down to the studs at that point and could walk all around over to the office that's now developed out with a couple of new neighbors for us on 428, but just seeing the possibility of what it could be and seeing it come together has been really rewarding. So,
good.
So I think that's what really sold me. But thinking where I want to start, Randy, is going back in time and going back to August of 2020, which was a wild time for so many things in the world, but also a time where Seneca One was starting to lease out space. And you and the team here made the decision to move down to Seneca One in the middle of a pandemic when everybody's working remotely and investing in an office space where, you know, it was all this potential, but you know, where it was going to go was a little uncertain. What was that process like looking at office spaces, making the pick for Seneca One? You know, what was kind of in your mind at that time?
Yeah. So leading up to that, we knew our lease and the space that we were in, and you know, up until 2019 for several years, which was a small office park, kind of a mile east or so from where the Galleria Mall is, right off the 90 there. It was a nondescript spot for us, that spot that we were in before we moved to Seneca One, and really, it was rare that we would have a client come to the office, or a potential client, or frankly, anybody that wasn't on our existing team come to the office. We would always go, you know, to see people, and we still do that. But at the time, you know, coming into the end of 2019, we knew that our lease was coming up. We knew that we were starting to turn the corner in terms of like the next step for our business, the next generations for our business of workers and team members. We were giving some serious thought to a new location, and we started to look in the late fall and winter of 2019 at different office locations. And so we were really staying kind of around the price point that we had already been in. We started to look at some Class A space, and it really wasn't the value versus the dollar amount, like the jump, really wasn't kind of matching up for us. And we were visiting a bunch of spots and nothing felt right. And then so I actually mentioned it to a friend of mine who happened to be involved in Seneca One and what it potentially was going to be. And so this time it was early 2020, and started to take a look at the space. Everything was under construction. It was cinder blocks and, you know, rubble and studs and all of the things, nails and screws and stuff. And so you really had to vision it out. And I, not to say that I, am lack vision, but I didn't really have a lot of experience of taking a look at like a real estate space and then saying, okay, I can see what this is going to be. But what we knew that Seneca One was potentially going to be was a community space where a lot of technologists were going to exist and interact. And that's kind of the core of what we do as a company, is connect people in the technology space in the Buffalo area and beyond. And so, you know, we kind of looked to take a leap of faith in that. We had a large client who's going to be in the space. So that was attractive to us. But, you know, as we're looking at all of this, COVID hits. And then we're like, oh, what the heck are we going to do? And financially, there was a lot of turmoil for our company, but certainly most companies out there, a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, a couple of months into COVID, as we got into the spring and into the summer, you know, we had to make a decision. Were we going to do this? Reality is, it just came down to us taking a risk and being bold and having some faith. And so we made the decision to, you know, move forward and move ourselves into Seneca One. And, you know, I can tell you more about the thought process and the story at that time. But, you know, just in terms of that, we're really, really glad that we made the decision.
Yeah. The what I'm curious about in there too, and you alluded to it a little bit, the proximity to all the technologists that would someday be moving here. How big of that was a factor in terms of just the type of company that you thought Lighthouse could be someday? Obviously, having done work since the company's start on the recruiting front, the talent front, but the managed IT services side and the technology work for small mid-sized businesses was still a little bit newer.
Yep.
At that point, you know, how in that time since you made the decision to make the move, have you seen that pay off just in terms of the connections that have come from from being at SenecaOne?
Well, you know, first of all, because of the popularity of the space and how well known it's become in the community, I think just us people knowing that our office is there lends a certain amount of credibility. I don't know how fair that is. I mean, even if we weren't there, I don't know if we would be any different of a company. But that we're there, I know has helped when people have reached out to us, even existing relationships that we had for years, people wanting to come and see the space. Certainly our office being on the 28th floor and the views that we have and the type of space that we have, I think is inspiring and memorable. So I think that that's helped when we've had visitors come to see us. Our tech services team has, over the last several years, gained a host of new clients that we serve that are right around the SenecaOne area, right in downtown. So, you know, it's definitely had an impact. I don't know how much of that, you know, is directly related to tangible stuff, or it's just maybe just some image where people look at us maybe a little differently. I don't know if that it's necessarily made us different people or that we serve in a different way, but it's certainly a lot of fun. We've tried to have a lot of fun with it, and we've tried to use it as a place that we can interact with more folks that maybe before we wouldn't have had the opportunity to interact with.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think there's a term I keep using when I talk to people, that it feels like there's gravity around the building now.
Yes, for sure. That's a great term.
Yeah, the principle of like the tech hub, and you know, using that term to describe kind of the space of this building, very much in the center of the Western New York region, being downtown as well. But thinking about a hub and a center and a place where people gravitate towards, I guess, that's certainly lent a lot of ability to build connections, especially for myself as well, coming into the tech community from a different industry and getting to know everybody as well. It's been beneficial to be here, and you never know who you're going to meet, right? You go to the coffee shop, you go to the food hall, you never know who you're going to meet. And that's lent to a lot of really interesting connections over the years.
Yeah, certainly. We've met lots of new, you know, friends and folks that are in the building. They work in the building. Their businesses are in the building, and that's been fantastic. In addition to that, the amount of events that come to that building have lent us the ability to, you know, meet other new folks that are coming there that don't work in the building, but they happen to be there for an event. And then in addition to that, we've been able to be a part of events, and whether they're educational events and we learn something new, they're philanthropic or community events that we get to participate in and do something good for the community, events that have been really good team building pieces for us. So that's been incredibly helpful. And so there's that, you talk about gravity, there's that kind of the combination of not just the folks that work in the building, but bringing people to the building that are part of the technology community who we want to interact with, and maybe would not have gotten the chance to do that had there not been some sort of event or something that pulls them towards the space. So it's been wonderful. The whole experience has been wonderful, and that's one of the reasons why.
Love it. Yeah. And want to give a shout out to the Douglas development team. That crew is working hard at a lot of different properties all around town now.
Yes, for sure.
But what they've put in to make those events and make the community setting to bring people together and have a good experience when they get here has been really good. So shout out to all our friends there. Appreciate that.
For sure.
What I think is a good direction to go in next is more looking specifically into our office, Randy, and talking about how it was designed and, you know, for us who work there, for people who come to visit, like they've seen, there's a lot of different spaces, a lot of different, you know, creative elements as well, just in terms of kind of the mood that a room sets, but also the, you know, the design of a space and the flexibility of it for different types of work. You know, what was kind of that process like going through figuring out how different spaces were going to get used and how the team would interact in those spaces?
Yeah, so some of it was definitely envisioned, and we just kind of fulfilled what we had in mind. And then some of it was kind of trial and error, to figure out what would work best. But, to start with the, you know, our office, which isn't very big, it's about 2,700 square feet. We wanted to maximize the full amount of space that we had. And that's something that a lot of companies are going through right now, that, you know, didn't have the opportunity to make adjustments during COVID, and they were left with these very large, very inefficient spaces. We wanted to have a smaller space where we used every square inch of it to, you know, its fullest capacity, which meant that it needed to be engaging. People needed to want to go into the different nooks and crannies of our space. It needed to be, you know, somewhat 24/7 or cyclical or whatever the appropriate term is. I'm not an interior designer, but it's this idea that, you know, you don't want to take up a whole space, a square footage in your office that only gets used for 2 hours a day. And we knew that we were going to be living in a hybrid kind of working world. We actually had that at Lighthouse before COVID, and we believed that that was going to continue for us. So, you know, we didn't want a space that only got used a fraction of the day. And so how do we set that up was the kind of question and one of the questions that we asked when we started to build out the space. So our office really starts with the middle of the office, which is just a big open space that people can pull up a desk, pull up a chair. We've got different ways to work, standing, sitting. Some of the standing desks and sitting desks are built in. We have desks that are on remote, so they can go up and down and adjust to, you know, the needs of the person occupying the desk. And then we've got different, you know, I'll call them breakout rooms by and large, which have different sizes to them. So some of them are really more of a fit for one person or maybe two people, and a couple of the rooms that might fit three or four. Some are good for, you know, meetings and interacting with, you know, doing one-on-one meetings or two-on-two or one-on-two or whatever. Some of them are real nice quiet space to just break away on your own individually. And then we have two larger spaces. One of them is our conference room where we gather, and we can, you know, really squeeze in probably 12 to 15 people in there if we're really squeezing in tight, but real comfortable if it's like a group of eight or so. And then we've got a lounge, which is essentially the same size space as our conference room, but just a bit more relaxed with couches and chairs and things like that. And then you know, we have a kitchenette, obviously, so which is stocked with drinks and snacks and all those types of things. And then we have a secret game room, which seems to be the highlight of the office tours. And that's still a space that actually people use to work, because it's a private space. It's nice and quiet, but it's also a nice space to be able to play and build relationships, and a real good kind of a punctuation mark on the on an office tour, because people have a lot of fun with that. And we have a lot of fun with it as a team, because it's got arcade games and things like that, darts and bubble hockey and all those such of things. So, you know, the moral of the story in terms of what were we looking at in creating the space, we wanted a space where people felt that they could come together and, you know, work in a collaborative environment, but still be able to break away if they needed to have some private space or quieter space for meetings and small groups. Philosophically, what we learned about putting all the rooms together and like how to create the space is that we weren't experts in it, and we were going to have to figure out how the team was going to use the space, like through COVID and beyond. So there were some rooms that we set up that I thought we were going to use them or use them differently, and we ended up not using them at all, or not using them in the way that I had thought we would have. And so we made some adjustments on the fly of rehabbing some rooms and making some adjustments and things like that, a little bit more extra construction, so that we could efficiently use the entire office space. And we got to that point. So, you know, I think we've got it to a real good place now. There's still a few adjustments that we're making. And in part, the reason why we're doing that is because our teams are growing and changing. And so now the way that I look at office space is that you don't just do it once and it's set for, you know, 100 years. It's going to maybe ebb and flow and change as your team grows or shrinks or works differently. As the industries change and business changes and, you know, all of the things. So, it was a really great experience. I personally, I found that I really enjoyed it. So The interior design and the decorating and all that type of stuff. If you go to the office, it's I'm the one to blame. If people don't like the decor or the style or whatever, it's absolutely all me for the most part. But I wanted it to be a really fun spot. I wanted it to be very bright and inviting. I think it captures all of that. And I think people on our team and people who come and visit us have seemed to really enjoy the experience. And at the very least, we'll cite that it's probably different from most office experiences that they've had in the past. And we were going for that. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad you closed with the word experience right there, because that's what we talk about all the time, right?
Yeah.
That it's an extension of ourselves and the brand that we want our company to have. And when people step in, yeah, it's not grayscale. It's, you know, there's certain parts where we can kind of tell people and show how the office was built. Like, yeah, we did this ourselves. It was a lot of trial and error, and we built the space ourselves in the way we wanted it to. But the colors, everything's bright, everything's inviting. Absolutely. Always comes through there.
Yeah. And Joe, I would say the one thing that I think it was really, really important to know is that, you know, we did this for the most part right in the heart of COVID, like in 2020. So financially, you know, we didn't have $1 million to spend on our space. And so we had bootstrapped a lot of this. So there was a lot of, you know, do it yourself and finding deals and that were out there for, you know, decor and furniture and all that type of stuff. But still, you know, keeping in mind that we wanted it to be a wonderful space for our team. And so, you know, I actually like that. I think that that was a great learning experience. I think that that's probably indicative of most of the experiences that small and mid-sized businesses in Buffalo have. And that's for Buffalo. That's the majority of the businesses are small to mid-sized, and they're trying to figure out a way to make an inviting office space that will attract and retain, you know, talented, wonderful people. And I don't know how much confidence there is in employers that are of that size trying to do that type of stuff and thinking that, hey, I can do this on somewhat of a shoestring budget. We made it happen. And I know that that's been a conversation we've had with several business leaders when they've come to our office, because they're trying to figure out a way to do the same thing at theirs, but they're just really anxious about, you know, thinking that the only way to make it happen is by spending $1 million that they don't have. So that's something that we learned, that it is possible that you can create a really fun space and do it on a bit of a budget. So I think that that's a nice story that we have that we're able to share with the community.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing all that. It's a really cool inside look that a lot of the time doesn't come up often, but you mentioned a couple things in there, and actually you caught the talent attraction angle that I wanted to go next, because that's really a big part of where this plays into is thinking about the decision to be in office, hybrid, or full remote. And businesses having to make a lot of those considerations and a lot of changes on the fly, even in the years after COVID here. But thinking about, you mentioned Lighthouse was hybrid before COVID, was hybrid before Seneca One, and still is now. So obviously that played a very key decision, like you said, into setting up the spaces, knowing that it was going to be hybrid mixed use, some individual work, some groups, you know, co-working space, things like that. Have you had any conversations with other business leaders around Buffalo, or just people you know, about really that in-office, hybrid, remote, you know, that return to office debate, and how that has been playing into not just office space and finding office space, but the talent attraction piece as well?
Yeah, I've had a lot of discussions, and I've sat on a handful of panels as well over the last couple of years. You know, what I'd say about it is that there's definitely a lot of emotion over the last several years that have gone into the whole work from home, work from the office debate. You know, I'm of the mindset that companies have to make the best decision that they think they need to make the decision that they think is in the best interest of their company, so that they can accomplish all of their goals, which include, you know, doing their best work, attracting and retaining their best people, all of those things. And I've got friends and have seen plenty of companies that have gone fully remote, that have been fully in the office, and found a way to make it work, and that's worked well for them. The vast majority have seemed to settle in on the hybrid space. The one thing that I just haven't liked is when you hear people taking a tone of, eternity or forever, as in this is how we're going to do this, or this is how it's going to be for everyone. And I just don't believe that that's true. And I think it's actually quite ridiculous, because times change and you need to adjust and adapt with the times. We're getting further away from COVID now. We've learned a lot of lessons there. There's value to doing work remotely. There is value to being together. Anyone who is on the extreme of each of those kind of sides is probably not interested in hearing real data on the value of, the opposite side. But there's value in both of those things. So I think that we are in a good place moving forward for most companies that are being hybrid. I do think that there's a serious cultural conversation still to be had around how we treat people who provide services to us that have to be on site, because our ER doctors, for example, our nurses that are working in hospitals, we've got delivery drivers who are delivering things to us on a daily basis. There's a lot of people out there who don't have the option of the work from home thing. And so the one thing that I don't like is hearing people talk like everyone for some reason has this option, and every company is somehow stupid or being incredibly rude by telling people or asking them to come into the office. So I don't like that part of the conversation either. But I think culturally on the whole, we're getting to a great place where workers have more freedom and flexibility to be able to do the things that they need to do for their well-being and for their lives, getting to doctor's appointments, taking the kids to school, all of that stuff. But at the same time, we're recognizing that there's value in us getting together and collaborating. There's value in the human connection. There's a lot of issues with just people staying home and never going outside and interacting with other people. It's not good for mental health. So there's a lot there. And I think we're in a much better place than we were over the last couple of years. But for us at Lighthouse, hybrid is the way to go. Trying to meet all of our team members to, where they are, so we can, capitalize on the best work environment so that we can get the results that we need. And at the end of the day, the results are really what matters. So we're going to keep adjusting as we move forward to whatever's best for our team member happiness and profitability as a company.
I love all of that. That was a really good shout out in there too. And appreciate that for all the doctors and the teachers and the school bus drivers and all the public servants and people who don't have the option to be remote. And that's certainly an environment where that's one part of the conversation, but often gets lost. And, like you said, it is a very polarizing debate a lot of times, but at the end of the day, it's really, a business strategy decision and how a business wants to work.
Yep.
In a lot of these types of contexts that we talk about. Like there's all the technology, there's all the different spaces available. I feel like that if you want to do in office or hybrid or full remote, like all the tools are there, and it's a choice on the business. And like you said too, what our team needs to do their best work, and hybrid is that for us. It's good to frame that conversation as it's an individual one that every business has to make for themselves, and
that's right.
And that has ramifications for talent attraction as well. And was good to hear a little bit of Lighthouse and how it's grown for the next generation of employees, like you mentioned.
Yep.
Making a space like we have at Tonkawan.
Yeah, that one in particular, that conversation where it's gotten off the rails is where people somehow feel that they have a right to demand from an employer that this is the way it needs to be done because that's the best way for me. That's fairly narcissistic, but I do understand where it comes from. But companies have to make the choices, and they're the ones at the end of the day that are responsible for getting whatever the heck the results are that they have to get. And so, there's definitely some cheese that gets moved, but you know this, Joe, better than anyone. We interact with so many gosh darn people on a daily basis, and we've met people who, will never, ever take a job that's not remote. And we've met people who will never, ever do a job that is remote because they want to be there. 5 days a week or whatever it is, and lots of folks in the middle. The reality is everybody, you know, not everybody's the same, and people need to make these choices for themselves, and companies need to make those choices from themselves. And I don't think it's up to you and I or anybody else to say that someone else is wrong because they make a certain choice that they think is best for them.
Yeah. Appreciate that. So we start winding this down here, Randy. Any closing thoughts on, you know, we've touched a lot of different areas, both the business specifics of how we set up our office, the talent attraction angle. We didn't go too far, but there is a technology piece in there too about hybrid work and how people can work together from the office or remotely and those kinds of things as well. But any other kind of talking points that are kind of on your mind, maybe in conversations with other business leaders, you know, what kind of conversations are coming up thinking about business space in 2025 and beyond, really?
Yeah, the two things that come into my mind, one that you mentioned, which was on technology. We are working with a whole host of companies in and around the Buffalo area that are adapting their space, whether it's their existing space and they're trying to make it work for, you know, a more current work setup where they've got folks who are working from home and working from the office and all that type of stuff. And we've got plenty of companies that are moving into new spaces that we're helping to set up their technology to optimize their new work environment or the work environment they want going forward. There's a lot of options out there. I don't think people need to, if they have questions, they can reach out to us too. Happy to share some of our best practices. And if they feel that we could help them with doing some project work and helping get their office set up, we're happy to do that. But having the right technology is really key to a smooth, work environment. And when I say environment, I'm talking about setups where people have the right tech in the office, they have the right tech when they're out of the office, whether they're working from home or they're on the road or they're mobile or whatever, and all those things interact seamlessly so that there's no disruption of their workflow and they can do their best work. So all of that is possible. It does not have to be that complicated. There's some great technology out there now that's cost-effective, even for small and mid-sized businesses and that. So that's a real thing that I hope people know exists out there, and they don't feel that they have to spend, you know, $1 billion just to be able to, you know, kind of modernize their tech for their new work setup. So there's that. And the second thing is just the idea of creating a space that's unique connected to the company's core values, brand, personality, all those types of things. There's a lot of business owners and leaders across the Buffalo area right now that are stepping into businesses that's the next generation of leaders. And they're looking around the walls and the whole office environment still looks like it's from another time, and they want to know how to make that work. I do want to echo what we talked about a little bit earlier, which is this thing that we learned. You can make this your own and you can do it without spending, you know, money, a fortune that you may not have. Because I think there's a lot of companies trying to figure out how to modernize their space, put their personality into it, but do that on a bit of a budget. So all of that's possible if we can keep sharing our story and that helps people. I want to keep doing that. And thanks to you for, you know, having me on and having this as a topic of conversation, because, you know, having a space like that is really important for the health of these businesses moving forward. I think it's important for their current employees and team members. I think it's important for the future ones that they're looking to attract. And I think we've been able to hit the nail on the head with, you know, what we've done. It certainly hasn't been perfect, but we've been able to do it with a more, you know, kind of entrepreneurial mindset and make and do with what we had and being creative and all the things that, you know, that we've worked hard to do together. And that's something I just want to say as a parting message, that all these things are possible. It doesn't have to cost a fortune. You just have to have some willpower, a little creativity, and be willing to put in a little bit of time and effort. And I know that across our area here in Buffalo, there's a lot of wonderful business leaders who are willing to do those things. So, thanks for letting me shout that out. Appreciate you having me on and to have the conversation, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on Level Up with Layhouse. It's been a lot of fun. And yeah, like you said, a little creativity goes a long way when it comes to things like the office space and things when it comes to the show and this conversation and having a little creativity and, obviously Level Up with Layhouse, very inspired by the branding of the game room. So
yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, little wrap up note. We got a little different wrap up for the show now. Starting to do something called the Hero's Journey. Trying to take a lot of like the tell me about yourself, like those kind of fun questions and things like that. Making it a little rapid fire game, and figure we could let people get to know a little bit about Randy. What makes Randy Harris? Randy Harris. You close it out there. Are you ready?
Sure. Sounds good.
Cool, man. Let's hop into it. First question. Take me back. You know, what kind of things were you interested in as a kid?
Well, funny enough, is behind you on the walls of the room that you're in the office is a whole bunch of Garbage Pail Kid cards and memorabilia, yeah, and posters and stuff. And I'm actually doing this from home, my home office, and you can maybe see over my shoulder here, I've got a wall that has Garbage Pail Kids on it too. So I love the kind of fun kids stuff, 80s, 90s nostalgia, because that's the era that I grew up in. But I'm still interested in those things that are, you know, whether it's games and board games, or, you know, the cards or little artwork, comics, those types of things. I'm still just a big kid, but yeah, that's something about me that people will definitely, if they were to come to our office or even come to my house, they'll see, well, there's a large child that lives here.
Oh yeah. And a fun fact for anyone else who's watched our podcast from the Blue Room here at the Lighthouse office and wondered what's on the wall here. Oh yeah. Those are the Garbage Pail Kids.
Yep. You got it.
Love those. Next question I got for you. What was your first job?
My first job was actually I was a fairly good hockey player when I was younger, and I used to work as an instructor at hockey camps.
Nice.
And I actually think the first camp that I worked was at Niagara University, and one of the camp attendees was a young kid named Patrick Kane, believe it or not. So I think he was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old at the time, and I was in my late teens, maybe, but, yeah, that was my first job. So did a bunch of those things. And, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work and very little pay at the time, which is frankly what I deserved, for how much effort I put in and how old I was.
Oh man. Did you have any feelings that you had a future NHL number one overall pick in your midst?
You know what? No, I didn't, because frankly, you know, at that age, you just see these kids and they're just scoring lots of goals. And I was doing that. So, and I know I wasn't in the NHL, so I figured someone was doing that too. Maybe needed something else beyond that with some size and stuff. But that kid in particular, who I got to know a little bit more as he grew into a young man, was pretty darn special. But it's always fun to watch any of these kids grow up to be something, whether it becomes a hockey player or anything else. And so I've gotten to that luxury actually over the last bit here to run into a lot of folks who I coached, even when I was younger, that have made themselves into some, just some wonderful young men and young women. So that's actually been a wonderful byproduct of doing stuff like that when I was younger.
Love it. Yeah. And big thing that we had in common, and I think we talked about probably even on the stairs, going back to the first interview, that hockey community, that's special, man.
Yep. You really got it.
Love it. Next question for you. I always kind of have this in here, but, might be a little bit straightforward story. How did you find your current job?
How did I get, so the current job that I'm at with Lighthouse?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, my father actually is the founder, which you know this, but anybody who might be listening might not, but my father is actually the founder of Lighthouse, started the company about 20 years ago. Yeah. And about 10 years ago, I was living on the West Coast with my wife. We had three young girls at the time, and he called me to essentially try to convince my wife and I to move back to Buffalo from Seattle, and to essentially get involved with the company and start to manage it and kind of get him to a place where he could get to retirement and myself and my brother, who's quite a few years younger than me, into helping to manage and run the company. So, you know, it was a family thing. We didn't have any intentions of it when we were on the West Coast, my wife and I, but the more we thought about it, the more Buffalo just seemed to be such a wonderful place to raise a family. And our three little girls at the time were getting to a place where, you know, we wanted a little bit more room, to be able to get them to their different sports and stuff, less traffic, more of a family atmosphere than the place that we were living. And so that's actually was the motivator to coming back to Buffalo and, nice. And starting work with Lighthouse.
Nice. Yeah. It's a classic Buffalo boomerang story. We hear those
always love
hearing those. Little bit different question. Do you remember a moment where work ever felt like play? maybe had some fun designing the office and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's probably a good one since that, you know, we just spent time talking about it, but creating the office space, absolutely. Like I have enjoyed it tremendously. I really like the creative part of the work that we do, whether it's creating an environment or an experience that the people who we work with really appreciate and helps them with their goals, or getting creative to help, you know, anybody that we serve, whether it's a hiring manager or it's a candidate that's looking, a job seeker that's looking for a job, or a client or potential client that like to maybe work with us for tech services or now even marketing services, which we've started to dip our toe into, which I'm excited about. The creative part about helping people reach their goals while at the same time we get to reach our goals, like making that match work, is really fun to me. It just is. So, and then I also like meeting new people and learning new things. And we get to do a lot of that, with the type of work we do. So I would say, you know, there's a large chunk of what we do to me is just a lot of fun. And I would do it for free. Just like any job. And there's some pieces and moments where, you know, you got to figure it out and it can be challenging and all that type of stuff. But, you know, I really enjoy a lot of what we get to do or the byproducts of what we get to do. It can be just a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun to be in a people business and a service business.
Yes, for sure.
You meet a lot of fun people and have a lot of fun experiences along the way.
Absolutely.
Love that. Couple more here. What inspires you most about the work you do?
I think it's connecting to people. And we do that in, you know, all the different areas of the work that we do. So whether it's connecting a hiring manager to a great, you know, new team member or a candidate, connecting a candidate to a great hiring manager, connecting some of our team members to, you know, leaders or IT leaders at some of these companies that we serve and with tech services or marketing services. Because really, we provide a service, and that service is needed by other folks. And so when you make that connection and it's not commoditized, it's like, hey, Joe and I really like clicked. Like Joe strikes me as someone who I'll not only will be able to help me with what I need, but I'll enjoy actually interacting with him and working with him and all that type of stuff. That we get that on like a daily basis, which is just really, really cool. So I'd say that thing, connecting people, and when it just clicks and they get along great, that's so much fun. And, you know, we've made connections that have turned out to be not just, you know, business connections, but they end up, these people become friends for life, or, you know, just having wonderful relationships that they keep for forever. And, it's just a really rewarding thing, that we get to do. So that's probably my favorite thing.
Yeah. Get to make a lot of people who become great friends, and, you know, we get to do good work and do it with good people. And
yeah,
and that's a good way to pass the days.
Yep. Absolutely.
For sure. For sure. Got two more here. What's the one big thing you want to accomplish next? Do you have a big goal in mind that you'd really like to do?
Is this personal or professional?
Could be either. Take your pick.
Yeah. So, I'm really excited. I know we haven't officially launched it yet, but I'm really excited about the marketing services work that we're doing, because marketing and technology interact so much now, and I think that we've put together some really good guidance and can provide a really good service for small to mid-sized companies in and around the Buffalo area that, you know, piggybacks off of the wonderful service we've been able to provide on the IT and technology side of things. So I'm looking forward to, as we head into 2025, us just kind of wrapping a bow around that wonderful kind of approach. And, you know, releasing it out into the community and seeing how many people that it could possibly help. Because we're learning through the IT services work that we do and the tech services work that we do, there's a lot of people out there who need help. They need really just some other wonderful folks that can align on a core value standpoint and then provide a service that's a big help to them accomplishing their business goals. And we've had some great success over the last several years with our tech services, And now I think we've got something special with managed marketing services that we're piloting. So I would say that is probably the thing that's on my list here at the top of, you know, kind of releasing into the wild and seeing what happens with it. And I'm really excited about that. So I think that'll be my answer to the question. And especially as I'm being interviewed here by, you know, the head of that service, shout out to you for all your hard work on putting that together. So I know this is a podcast and this is going to go out to the world and whatever. And there might be a couple people who listen to it, but, and we're still in pilot mode with that and keeping things kind of close to the vest, but I'm really excited about it because I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Yeah. I think that's a great subtle plug-in for people who stick around for the whole episode. Nice little golden nugget, a little treasure at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how many with me talking that are sticking around. But yeah, that's a
big things ahead.
That's out there for sure.
And then last one for you. Obviously, we talked a lot about working in this tech community and some of the wonderful things that we've had the ability to experience just being connected here. You know, for people who want to work in Buffalo's tech community, what's one piece of advice you might want to give them for people who want to come work in tech in Buffalo?
I would say focus on getting connected. And that's an easy thing to say if you're on the inside and you've already made those connections and that, and I spent the last essentially 10 years of trying to do that. But what I found is the best way to do that is actually getting involved in community efforts. And because that's how I've found a way to make the most connections and the best connections is to, you know, get rid of the veil of work and trying to sell somebody something or trying to, you know, get a job and just get to a place where people are trying to make good happen for the community. And we've got Tech Buffalo is a wonderful organization. There are several others in and around the Buffalo technology community where you can meet people from the technology community, but do it in a way where you're supporting, you know, the general community at large and maybe people who need more help. And by doing that, I found that you end up making connections naturally inside the technology community. And so, you know, there's certainly, if you have something in mind that you really want to do or a company or people that you want to get connected with, you know, you can certainly plug into an organization like Tech Buffalo who might be able to help you or do those things on your own and reach out to people. Buffalo is a very friendly city. The City of Good Neighbors is a very friendly town. And I found that more people are open to, you know, an outreach and connecting with folks than maybe some of the other bigger cities that I've lived in. But getting involved in community efforts within the technology community and meeting people there naturally while helping to support the community or support a good cause has been just a great way to get connected. So I would say get connected. And then there's, you know, at least just some of my experience for what it's worth is a great avenue to go down to make it easy on yourself to do that.
Love that. Yeah, I've always found it to be a good microcosm of Buffalo as a whole of, I feel like there's really a place for everybody and, you know, lots of different ways to get involved, lots of different ways to make connections. And it's really good reminder there just to get out, get involved, and you never know what could come from those little creative collisions. And
yeah, it's exactly
like
right.
Love it.
It's exactly right.
Love it. That's the show. Randy Harris, everyone. Thanks for joining me today.
Joe, really thanks, buddy. Thanks for hosting. And you're doing a great job with this series. I'm looking forward to your next guests.
Appreciate it. Yeah. We'll have to have you back on. I think we got a lot of open threads to pick up from here. So
sounds good.
So much.
Sounds good, my friend. All right. Well, have yourself a good day. Okay. I'll catch you later.
Take care. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you made it this far, thanks for sticking around and hope you enjoyed this episode of Level Up with Lighthouse. I know I had a great time talking with Randy and hope you learned a ton as well. You know, it's a really great discussion on the in-office versus remote versus hybrid. It's a discussion that drives a lot of conversation, but hopefully you got some inspiring ideas of how we approached designing an office space for our team and the way that we work and what our team members need. Hopefully that brought some new ideas for you as well. If we can help you with anything at Lighthouse, we're always glad to have a conversation. Like Randy mentioned, we've learned a lot from the process of building our office and making it what it is today and what you've seen in this video and what you've heard. Feel free to connect with us on LinkedIn. We'd love to hear what you're working on in the months ahead. Next up on the show, I'm really excited to bring you a guest from a company that's been growing really rapidly in Buffalo. Hannah Buffa is Director of Learning and Development at Buffalo Rehab Group. I'm really excited to dig in with her on some of the leadership development programs that she's helped put in place and stand up at BRG and how that's helped the business grow. Until next time, this is Level Up with Lighthouse. My name is Joe Ray. We'll see you next time.